This is Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Two words might say it all for many of you about the rest of this hour. John McCutcheon. He's a narrator, I think, of our life and times. He writes, he sings, he plays. He's recorded more than 40 albums since the 1970s. He's a storyteller, an activist. Gosh, we've seen him write a song in the few minutes before he steps into the Insight studio. So the great news for fans is that he's here, he's going to play live, and he is on stage at venues all over the Northern California area over the next few weeks. It's a pleasure to have you back. Welcome, John.
It's great to be back, Beth. Thanks.
We are in interesting times. You know, this year 2020, just by the numbers, was inspiring to people. A new year can be, as we were talking in this hour, hopeful, a time of change. But there has been a lot of fear and concern, trepidation injected into this year. So if I'm going to call you the narrator of what we're living in, give me your thoughts. Tell me how you see where we are right now.
Well, it feels to me like we're in a great struggle between fear and love. And those are the two opposites, of course. I had a buddy of mine in high school who was an official ne'er-do-well, spent a lot of his time under the guidance of the state in his adult years. And he showed up at a show of mine recently. He had two tattoos on his knuckles, and on one side said love and the other said fear. And I said, I thought hate was the opposite of love. And he said, oh, no. I learned in prison fear is the opposite of love. And so we stand at this point in which we can choose to, I remember Martin Luther King used to say, if you're going to fight the man with the man's weapons, he will kill you, because they are his weapons. So you have to fight the man with weapons that the man does not understand. That was the lesson of the civil rights movement. And I was thinking before I came on today about a woman named Mary Ethel Dozier, who was a young African-American college student from Fisk University. And she was at the Highlander Center in East Tennessee, a meeting of white and black college students during the nascent days of the civil rights movement. And Highlander is a place that is one of the many places that was instrumental in the civil rights movement and beyond. But it's where the song We Shall Overcome gestated and evolved. And she was an important piece in that, because the police raided the Highlander Center one night, turned off the lights, came in with guns out and billy clubs, and the kids started singing, which drove the police crazy. Stop that singing! But they used music as a way that they could control. And it drove the cops crazy. And Mary Ethel Dozier wrote the greatest verse, I think, of the song. Hiding under a desk, filled with fear, she sang, "We are not afraid." Because fear is the great weapon. It's not guns. It's not billy clubs. It's fear. And if we are able to use music and humor in a way to defy that, then they don't have control of this. And it's one of the things that I've been trying to do for decades now.
Thank you for your words. And now to some music. What would you like to play?
I've got two new songs.
Good.
I was inspired by the poet Richard Blanco, that I heard recently, and he wrote a poem. And it's, you know, one of the things about poetry and music to me is about voice. What voice do you choose to write from? Who's speaking? And in this particular poem, he wrote a poem from the perspective of the Rio Grande. I'm just a river. I'm not a border. I wasn't meant to do this. So in light of what I ran into last year when I was out here on my Left Coast tour, I visited Paradise, and I'm about to go off to Australia, where there are similar conflagrations.
Worse.
So I decided to take a particular perspective. Y'all listen up right here, I'm gonna be perfectly clear. It's getting mighty late now in the day. You've been frittering your time away. I'm Earth, and I got something to say.
So you all listen up right here. I was here a long time before you. In the grand scheme, you're pretty new. I survived asteroids and dinosaurs, Ice Age, disco, a whole lot more. Ain't never seen nothing like y'all before. And I was here a long time before you. You act like you own the place. Never learned that that ain't the case. You were born into paradise. Destroyed it without thinking twice. Now you can't imagine there's a price when you act like you own the place. Now don't say I didn't warn you. In Australia, California, but you're too polarized to find a fix. You poison everything with politics. You ain't got the sense of a pile of bricks. And so don't say I didn't warn you. But you're capable of such wonder, as through my world you blunder. I heard it right there from the start. Music, poetry, and art. I just wish you'd led more with your heart. 'Cause you're capable of such wonder. So go ahead and go extinct. You're more expendable than you think. Just keep on eating till you had your fill. Don't worry about me, but I expect you will. Hell, I'll survive, but I doubt you will. So go ahead and go extinct. The Bible says that after 5 days, things were good, going okay. And then from what I understand, on day 6, God created man. I don't guess it worked out how he planned.
John McCutcheon. You can see and hear him tonight in Angels Camp. He'll be at the Bret Hart Theater. Tomorrow he's in Berkeley, Saturday Grass Valley, then in Chico and Sonoma. Quite a schedule coming up. And you mentioned Australia. You're scheduled to be there the end of February and into March. Mm-hmm. What are the conversations like about still traveling and performing and being able to?
Well, the fires have been confined so far, at least, to New South Wales. And it's a horrible situation, and there have been lots of this is a period of time where there's lots of music festivals, and some have been canceled, some have been truncated.
But you're supposed to go to Victoria.
Yeah,
I think there have been fires in Victoria.
Yeah, they're
too.
They're coming there. It's the dry season, and it's by the time I get there, it will be a little cooler. So hopefully there'll be some relief. But it's where I need and want to be. It sounds foolish, I know, but like coming out here to California, which I've done every year for 30 plus years now, it becomes a part of my life and the rhythm of how I work. The same thing is true in Australia. This is my 10th or 12th visit over there. And I think what most people, no matter what kind of work they do, their hope is that they can be useful. And maybe I can be useful. I don't know. I hope so.
I love that song, by the way, from the perspective of Earth. And and what would the words be if we could hear it in the language we understand? I said something earlier I want to check myself on, and that was that I used the word worse in terms of Australia. But if you take it to the individual, if you've lost something or someone or anything, there is no worse. There's no scale. It's the loss is the loss, because I immediately thought of a person in paradise and what that was all about. And I think that's why I've always appreciated your work, John, because you do try to speak for the individual, even if that person is Mother Earth, as in that song.
Well, you know, simply finding a way to talk about something that is obviously more than just what you're talking about is the trick in any kind of, dare I say, art. Mm-hmm. But what sustains me in all this is emblematic of what happened when I played in Chico last year. And there were a number of people from the Paradise Symphony who showed up at my show. And I was talking to them afterwards, and they said, "You really got to come out and see us. And you know, we're having our first rehearsal next week." And I thought, well, that's what keeps us going. Just this defiance of the circumstances that are so obvious and inevitable around us. And that's what's occupied my music. I don't know how to write. Well, I do know how to write, I guess, a hit song. But I'll let other people do that because that's not really what interests me. It's not what drew me to music in the first place. So, you know, yeah, I'll write songs for people like those people who say, yeah, we lost our houses, but we've still got something that can bring beauty to these times and this place for us.
I know you said you had a second song, and we have a bit of time, so
yeah, this is a short little one.
Okay,
this is
good.
A brand new one. And we were talking earlier about the expanse of our families.
Yeah.
Four generations, our parents, our children, our grandchildren. You're far too young to have grandchildren.
I have a wonderful little granddaughter, so I'm right there with you.
So I've been writing a lot about sort of chronicling my family for my grandchildren, and then I decided to look at it through the other end of the telescope.
Okay. You
know. 100 years from now, my great-great-grandchildren's time, will it bear any resemblance to this world of mine? This place of boundless beauty, wonders bright and bold, I can't possibly imagine what the time ahead might hold. Each day I am more of the past. The future is not mine, and I know that's what's been left me is for the next in line. Have we packed well for their journey? Have we done all that we could? Or in trying to be great again, forgotten to be good? I saw the handprint on the cave wall, reaching from the past. I wonder just what kind of ancestor I might be at last. One 100 years from now, my great-great-grandchildren's day, I hope they'll find the breadcrumbs I left along the way. Just over the horizon, a place I cannot go, this message in a bottle from a century ago.
The one and only John McCutcheon, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Good luck,
Beth,
on the road. Good luck with your family this year. We'll post a link to all the many, many opportunities in the next few weeks to see John. Safe travels to Australia. Would you take us out to the end of the show here?
Sure.
And I'll say that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruriak with the entire team, and thanks for joining us.